The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't
Okay, thank you. Existential crisis and the art of quarterback maintenance. And speaking of existential crisis, Kevin Love is where we've all been before. Let's go.
Man, we really got to start living. We've got a few more days left.
Of all the answers to questions ever, Kyle Shanahan saying, I can't guarantee anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who's on a roster, is one of them. So, when San Francisco picks one of the five quarterbacks they tell us they love, and we're led to believe they're going to pick Thursday, if there is a Thursday, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting no endorsement from the team. Clinton Yates, around the horn to you. What is that answer from Kyle Shanahan?
It's a little existential, but I like it. This is a situation in which I think NFL coaches are in a very difficult position. They're supposed to be honest, but at the same time, why would you want to tip your hand in a situation like this when you know that you're going up against other teams that have similar needs? So if he wants to say something ridiculous, that's fine, but I completely understand why he's not trying to reveal what it is he thinks is the best player to pick, because he believes he's smarter, and if he tips his hand then, maybe somebody takes a player that he wants. I'm fine with it, as ridiculous as it might
be. You believe they know exactly who they're picking, Clinton Yates?
I don't know, but I think Justin Fields is the guy they should go with. I think he's the best player and athlete that fits into that
and
offense.
One more question, Clinton. Do you believe they've absolutely moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think that there's a reason why you're keeping him around. It's because you want some level of stability, but you can't guarantee that guy's going
to
play through the season.
Sarah Spain, all those questions to you after hearing Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I guess if we're going to complain about cliches all the time, just throwing some nihilism out there in the
exactly.
middle of an answer that could be much easier, we might as well embrace it, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be alive for Showdown later, but I hope I am. I think that they know who they're going to take. There was a report out yesterday that they know who they're going to take, and a very few number of people know about it. They're keeping it very hush-hush. Then a couple hours later, it was like, no, never mind. They absolutely have no idea. They're still taking everyone into account. This is typical John Lynch. This is us buying into whatever they're selling us. Weeks ago, it was, why are they giving us so much information? I guess it's because they're number three. We think we know who's going one and two. They're not worried about someone coming and taking the pick. Now they've gone the opposite direction, and they're completely muddying the water. So I'm not trusting anything is where I'm landing on this. It's lion season. It's draft season. I'll believe it when someone gets picked on Thursday, preferably a living creature.
Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
And that is the proper reaction, Sarah, because Clinton, okay, if they're showing their cards, it doesn't matter because the Jets and the Jaguars are all in. There's no more betting over there. So you can just go ahead and say who you're going to pick, because unless you believe that the 1-2 is not going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, then who are you trying to, you know, who are you trying to protect here? What pick? It seems like it would be internal, either that or it's, as Sarah's saying, they're just messing with us. And frankly, this happens every year. Maybe John Lynch has a little bit more fun with it than the rest of these guys. But if it is an internal situation, that's the only way, internal dispute, that's the only situation where I would say, okay, they're not going to say, obviously, that they're having an internal dispute. They're just going to say there's a bunch of guys and we'll decide when we decide. But I'm with Sarah here. It makes zero sense. It doesn't really help anybody, certainly not Jimmy Garoppolo. They know they're going to draft a quarterback anyway. So it's just an odd situation.
And Bob Ryan.
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is he says five people. I can only think of three unless they're counting the ghost of Y.A. Tittle. I'm not so sure who number four and five are.
Okay.
So that's number one. I don't care who they pick. I mean, we all know what's going on here. But as far as the comment goes, I'm not a Shanahanologist. I don't know his personality. I don't know how to interpret that, whether that's part of him that people will go, yeah, that's him, or they're going, where did that come from? I don't know which one it is. And number three, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm not too thrilled, because that was a very, very backhanded.
So you believe that is a backhanded Garoppolo's way. Sarah Spain,
yes,
you want to address that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, if we're being conspiracy theorists here, a lot of people are arguing that they gave away too much to move up to three, and if Mac Jones is their guy, nobody wanted him there. So maybe there's a team that's a couple spots lower that they're trying to convince that they're all in for, say,
Wait, you just said you're not believing anything, and now here you are, you're throwing out more conspiracy.
No, that's my point.
You're a part of the problem. You are the machine you raged against, Sarah Spain. If anybody in the world is alive Sunday, or next season, or whatever, it might be Aaron Rodgers, because Packers GM Brian Gutekunst said this.
But Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. So we certainly think that, you know, with the contract that you're kind of talking about, is something we'll work through.
After drafting Jordan Love last year, the Packers didn't say this. So what does saying this mean this time around, Sarah Spain?
Well, I mean, at least we're one step ahead of last year where they wouldn't even admit to that. And I guess it's breaking news that the MVP of the NFL will be their quarterback this year. I think what they're saying is one thing, what they're doing is another. And not restructuring his contract, allowing for him still to be playing with no guaranteed money, where he'd be $25 million off the cap if they decided to move on after this season, says a whole lot more than just them saying the inevitable and the obvious, which is that he's going to start this year.
Is Israel Gutierrez?
Well, to me, if they want everyone to relax and say, hey, he's going to be a part of our team for the foreseeable future, which what does that really mean? Could it be 1 year? Could it be multiple years? Then they would probably tell Aaron Rodgers that. And Aaron Rodgers wouldn't come out and say on the Pat McAfee show or wherever that, hey, my contract or my future is a beautiful mystery and I don't know what's going to happen. So it doesn't feel like he understands what they're doing. They seem to have their plan and they're sort of getting that the band back together, if you will. But it would seem the most important player would be the one that you would address first, and it doesn't seem like that's happening. So it's not a great compliment to say, you know, he's our quarterback for the foreseeable future, but it is something.
It's better than saying we may all die by Sunday. I hear what you're saying. Bob Ryan, how about you?
Well, yes, they drafted Love last year, but after what they saw from Rodgers in the 2020 season, they know they want him back. And this matter of getting the details settled with the contract, it'll get done. He doesn't want to really go anywhere, we don't think. They don't want to play with somebody else. So even if he deteriorates, 10% next year, he's still a terrific quarterback based on what we saw last year. So it'll all get done. You're not worried about it, Bob.
How about you, Clint Yates?
Not worried about feelings.
I think it's a coach who's in a situation of a little bit of resignation. I mean, you know, for as much as good as Rodgers was winning the MVP, they're also probably a little concerned that Jordan Love has developed absolutely none. He was inactive for like half the games last year. So no matter what you're trying to do with Rodgers, you don't really have many other options in terms of who you drafted. And I think that's kind of the tone that you're looking at there. He's for the foreseeable future because that's all you got right now. Of course, the MVP matters, but he's getting up there and there in cap hell. So it's kind of a difficult.
Does that mean Jordan Love hasn't developed just because he wasn't active for the games? I don't know if that means.
If you're not playing that much, I think that it's an indication that you're probably not going to be, you're not moving along as well as you want to.
You know what Rodgers has this year that he hasn't had in previous years? He's got that Jeopardy leverage. That's what he's got. Aren't you guys up in negotiations? I'll throw your name out there for host of Jeopardy. That'll get you guys signed. We'll move on. Kevin Love. Let's talk Kevin Love. There are turnovers and then there are turnovers. And this video of him punching the ball as a way of inbound was an immediate turnover. Basket in his face. He's going to be on the reel forever. Look at his teammates' reaction. Terry Pluto in The Plain Dealer wrote that Love embarrassed himself and his team. The Cavaliers should take action. Doesn't appear like the Cavaliers will. Love apologized to the team after the game, and Bickerstaff says they want to move on. Love was limping before and after this, as you might see right here, and was yelling at referees. So that might be part of his frustration as well here. But Bob Ryan, how bad is what Kevin Love did last night?
The thing is, if it were, it's Kevin Love, which puts a cloud over the situation because we are all aware of his history with regard to depression, et cetera, and his public addressing about mental health in general terms. So it makes you very nervous that he would do something as indefensible and outrageous as what he did. And it is that. It is indefensible what he did. It is thoroughly unprofessional. But if they're going to move, that's their problem. If they're just going to say, hey, I will accept his apology and move on and not reprimand him more strongly, then that's their business. But I think that Terry Pluto is 100% correct, that they should definitely make him pay this price.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, internally, you don't know what was said. You don't know if Kevin Love gave a very heartfelt apology and maybe even more depth of what, you know, any of us could have figured right here. But it is indefensible when you look at it. You're talking about a guy who was early on in his career one of the best players in the league and then went on to be a champion alongside LeBron James in Cleveland. And you would think that going through a tough rebuild would be something that, yeah, could be difficult on you, but not something that turns you into this sort of an unprofessional veteran who's just making sort of a mockery of the game. You know, he had the sort of mocking chest pass a couple years ago or last year, where he was, again, mocking teammates for not moving the ball. And it's just not a great look. I don't know what team would want that as part of their, you know, part of their team, even if they are successful, because, you know, it could come down to something like this. So it's just a horrible look. Who knows, you know, what was said internally again, but for Kevin Love's sake, it's just bad for the image.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, the context of the couple plays before where he felt like calls weren't being made and he was getting bumped around matters, but so does the larger context of us knowing that he's not super happy in Cleveland. It's hard to be on a team that used to be a contender and now no one really cares much about you. Add that all up and it makes for this terrible moment, and as they both said, it's indefensible as an individual moment of a game, as a professional, even somebody playing in a rec league game. I think I would be pretty angry as a teammate if that was their approach to the game, and this is something he's getting paid for. But I think if the team decided in the background that what he said to them and how he explained it was okay and they decide not to punish him, then moving forward the expectation is this: we don't see it from him again.
And Clinton Yates,
I got to admit, this does not rise to this level of concern for me. You mentioned all the points there. You're playing in Cleveland. You've fallen on a couple swords. The last thing I'm going to do is question Kevin Love's integrity when it comes to his desire to play the game of basketball. We've seen his career. Guy had a bad night, all right? He made a play that was probably pretty embarrassing. He apologized to his team. Coach handled it. To me, this was about as professional as you could deal with for something that was
Israel,
so
you want to add to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there are veterans all over the league who are dealing with being on bad teams. Bradley Beal at the beginning of this season was in a horrible situation, right, and everybody was saying he should ask out instead of rather just acting like, frankly, a petulant child in the middle of a game.
Glenn Yates?
He didn't tear up the locker room, though. I mean, he made a bump play, bumping back inbounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't that big of a deal in my
I'll say this, Bob, and since you introduced it, we can talk about this a little bit, and you know how I feel about mental health. Mental health is simply health. And it is very public, Kevin Love speaking about his battle with depression, and he wrote one of the great pieces for the Players Tribune. I do believe that needs to be in this greater conversation, but I don't know if it needs to be in this exact moment. And I say that because, you know, someone who's frustrated with their play and is experiencing the highest of highs in life could still react in that way. I don't think somebody who's been public about their dealing with mental health before needs it to be brought up at all the time. And I say that respectfully. I understand it's part of the greater picture of who this person is. And it's a plus, complete plus, in Kevin Love's favor that he's been so public about it. But on this particular play, maybe that's just a guy who's frustrated that his team stinks and they've rebuilt three times and he's still there. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The first start by a pitcher who's leading the league at home runs since Babe Ruth started poorly. Shohei Ohtani had a rough first inning, but settled down, struck out 5 straight at one point, 8 for the game, had a bunt single, and a 113-mile-per-hour hit, and the Angels beat the Rangers. He's been throwing a slider-cutter hybrid as well. What do we call that, folks? A slutter.
A slutter.
And Joe Maddon says, if you don't find him entertaining, you can't be entertained. Takeaway from the start and the start, Yates.
You got the full complement of Ohtani here. Not just the pitching, not just the baseball IQ bunting against the shift. You also got the base running, his most underrated quality, and he scored 3 runs in this game. I get a little anxious about him being a starter and playing in the field because he's such a great player at the bat, but this was a fantastic game.
Garrett Spain.
Yeah, if you reduce this to just the idea that a manager didn't know whether his pitcher knew how to bunt and was pleasantly surprised that he did and did it in a game, that just reminds you of how different this guy is, right? That you're like, whoa, he could bunt too as a pitcher? Just think so much fun, and everybody just wants him to stay healthy so he can keep going out there and doing both.
He's real.
Yeah, I'm not even dismissing the Babe Ruth comparison. I know how early in the season it is, but anytime you evoke that dude's name, it's just mind-blowing. It's like, what do you mean? Nobody's done anything since that guy's done whatever the heck he did 100 years ago. But the thing I love best is just when you struggle, when you're off early on, you can help yourself at the plate, and you know you can. And he did that, and he recovered at the on the mound. So, you know, he's just an amazing
Bob Ryan.
I must point out that Rick Wise once pitched a no-hitter and hit 2 home runs in the same game. So that's something for Ohtani to shoot for. This is the best show in baseball. Now, sooner or in 1919, the Red Sox had to make a decision. They went with hitting over pitching with Root. Okay? Sooner or later, I think the Angels will make the same decision. Meanwhile, enjoy the fun,
yes,
the show. And let me add that there is no manager in baseball more appreciative of this than Joe Maddon, because he has the best sense of fun among all his major league peers.
Bob, so you said the Red Sox went with hitting over pitching for Root. They went with no Nanette over Root. That was the problem that they went with, the decision they
That's
made.
That's a myth.
Oh, yeah? Please give us a history story.
That's a myth. It's not true. The chronology doesn't hold up. It isn't true.
So they weren't. They didn't need the funding and money for a Broadway show, is what
you're needed money, but it wasn't specifically about no.
But it sounds better when it is. Don't you agree? We'll move on. Thank you, Bob. Fire Cell 2. Spurs snapped the Wizards' win streak at 8 last night in overtime. Bradley Beal had 45 for Washington. A stat you think should be good, but isn't, because Washington is 7-21 all time when he scores 40. It's the worst win percentage in NBA history of any team than a player scoring 40. Also in the loss, Russell Westbrook had a triple-double, his 12th this month, which passes Wilt. He's 6 away from Oscar Robertson all time. After the game, Westbrook commented how the perception of his triple-doubles aren't useful was never applied to Oscar or Magic, and said, bleep ain't easy. Sarah, you want to talk about Beal and that stat, or Westbrook and his triple-doubles?
No, Westbrook, bleep ain't easy is right. And Tony, I remember when you were hosting this show back in the days of Robertson et al., and people were going crazy for the triple doubles. I mean, the difference is the coverage now, and the difference is, of course, is whether or not his team is good and of interest and contending. And when they're not, people are going to care less about individual achievements, as great as they may be, which this is.
Israel.
We're still doing this, huh? I mean, what do we ask our players? You want to make other players better. You want to hustle. You want to play hard all the time. That's what Russell does. So he's not the most efficient shooter. Okay, he still finds a way to make this type of an impact on a game. It is maddening to hear when people say, hey, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's stat padding. It's nonsense. I'll take Russell Westbrook on my team any day.
So, Bob, we had a 40-point game in a loss, and we had a triple-double in a loss, and the stats for both of those guys – while the stats are great, the team's win-loss hasn't been great. What is that?
Well, I've seen players that filled up box scores and the teams didn't win because before, but it's hard to say. You know, this team has been so bad and don't have enough. But I would say this, as far as Westbrook is concerned, I don't underestimate it at all. It is an amazing achievement, okay? And I just let it go with that.
Let's try to unveil another myth here, right, Bob? The idea that triple doubles, while they were calculated in the 60s and 70s when Wilt was doing, was not as present a part of the game. Talk to me about that.
When Oscar was doing it, nobody was paying any attention to it. The phrase didn't exist, came along in Magic's time. And so, no, this is all ex post facto, that all the appreciation is coming way too late for Oscar, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Clint Yates.
I think Westbrook is confusing with the criticism here. It's not that they're not useful. They're just not as entertaining as Bradley Beal in this particular case. There's a reason why Bradley Beal's taking the last shots at the end of the game, and there's a reason why Brad is, in a lot of people's opinion, the most important player on the team. People don't even notice when Westbrook is getting them. They just figure out at the end of the game, oh, right, he got another one. They lost again anyway. The Dagger gave him 150 points. Who cares? That makes sense to me on some level.
Well, there is one common element to both of these pieces of information. That's the ipso facto, the Washington Wizards, right?
Yeah, you know, teams of my youth. We see you, Theodore.
That collar stays popped. But Yates not making the showdown. Spade, thanks for today. Israel Gutierrez, Bob Ryan, showdown. in 2 minutes. Ipso facto. Exo facto. How the Suns set on the Knicks winning streak. Chris Paul, Chris Paul. These two shots, just dagger after dagger. What is the better shot, Israel, from Chris Paul last night to get the Suns their win on the last game of the East Coast trip?
I think it's pretty easy there. It's the first one there. Not only are you going against Julius Randle, who's significantly taller than you, but you have to double clutch on the way up and re-grasp that thing and then shoot it. Clearly the first shot. Mm-hmm.
Bob?
Which is why it's the second one, because the first one, I hate to say this, but it involves an element of luck. Skill, yes, but luck. Something like that goes in as luck. The second one, well executed, calm, precision, precise. Obviously the second one.
Okay, you're going to be the one to tell Chris Paul that was lucky? Go ahead, Bob. Israel Gutierrez, very lucky point there from you, but you'll take it. Showdown 2, burning sage to change the vibe. We saw Kyrie Irving do this back when he went back to Boston earlier this year. Now, baseball, Danzy Swanson did it at home in Atlanta after the team had one hit in two games on Sunday, and they came out and they scored four in the first and held on to beat the Cubs. Do you believe that's what turned the tide, Bob Ryan?
First thing I thought of course, was Major League. Black would you not? The second thing I thought of was Simon and Garfunkel, Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Anyway, it is a good idea, if only because it's a bonding thing. It doesn't matter. It's obviously isn't the reason, but it was got everybody a common purpose
take
and made everybody happy.
In my sausage, Bob, I will take it in my Thanksgiving Day stuffing. I will cut it up, maybe put it into like an herbed mayo, if you will. But the second you light that thing on fire, it stinks up the room. It puts me in a bad
place. Oh, you don't like it.
Apparently, Swanson can hit home runs afterward, but me, I hate it.
I can't question Bob's history anymore. I mean, fine, Scarborough Fair, if you say so. I don't know the lyrics to that. But once I got No No Nanette wrong, oh, my fault, my most grievous fault. Take the FaceTime, Bob Ryan.
Chris Paul was the number three pick of the 2005 draft. Number one, by the way, was Andrew Bogut. But there's one other guy left from that draft. He was the 45th pick, and it was Lou Williams. Lou Williams is still with us, folks. Lou Williams on Sunday night had four threes in the last 7 minutes of a Hawks victory, 15 points in the fourth quarter. I was numbers were down a little this year. He's been around forever. But Lou Williams is one of the great, almost forgotten great players in the history of basketball. Three-time Sixth Man of the Year award. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't even think about it. I would certainly think about it. But Lou Williams still winning ball games for the Atlanta Hawks. All these years later.
That's going to do it, folks.